Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
Okay, it's time to resume the A to Z of Merseyside football. Wow, we're only on the letter H. John Keith has been given a couple of months to research the H's and a summer break as well. But we had such fun with the G's that the H's, could it possibly live up to it? Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning.
H has to mean one thing if you're a Red.
Well, it does, really. There are many, many H's, by the way, before we start. There are many of them, but none greater than the man we're going to talk about this morning. Decades before Kenny Dalglish was awarded a knighthood earlier this summer, another Liverpool striker was bestowed with a similar prefix to his name, albeit by the cop rather than the queen. Roger Hunt's scoring deeds earned him the sobriquet Sir from adoring fans, highly appropriate for a player whose eye for goals was matched by his exemplary conduct and approach to the game. Hunt and Ian St John formed the spearhead to Liverpool's remarkable renaissance during the 1960s. Under Bill Shankly. Hunt, powerful with a fierce shot, and St John, a clever, cunning raider, formed a kind of bludgeon and rapier combination. Now, Hunt predated Shankly at Anfield. He was born in Goulbourne, Lancashire, in July 1938. Growing up as a Bolton fan and idolising their celebrated England centre-forward, Nat Lofthouse, and who wouldn't? And Roger was spotted playing in the Mid-Cheshire League for Stockton Heath, later becoming Warrington Town. He signed for Liverpool as a 19-year-old amateur in 1958, and after signing pro in May 1959, he was handed his debut by manager Phil Taylor in a home game against Scunthorpe in the old second division the following September. His chance came because of injury to the legendary Billy Little, who gave the nervous debutant a few kindly words of advice. Hunt's response was to help the team to a 2-0 win, and he scored the first of his 286 goals for the club, an all-time record until one Ian Rush overtook him with 346. Hunt, though, remains Liverpool's all-time record league scorer with a total of 245, which included, Steve, only one penalty, and the club's highest league scorer in a season with 41 in season 1961-62 to fuel their promotion drive back to the top flight. One penalty.
In all his goals?
In all his goals, one penalty.
Why would you not have such a prolific goal scorer as your penalty taker?
I was talking about this to friends during the summer. They were talking about penalties. Obviously, with England, it was a topic widely discussed. Kenny Dalglish hardly ever took a penalty, and he didn't like taking penalties. And he said to me a lot of time, you've got to admire penalty takers for having the courage to do it. And Roger obviously didn't
not
like...
Not comfortable with it.
No, well, obviously not. And also, they had other people in the team who were adept at it, so it never really became an issue, you know. I mean, it's not all great goalscorers are great penalty takers. There is a difference. I mean, one's in the heat of battle, the other is a cold, set situation. And they are psychologically very different, aren't
they? So was Saint the penalty taker?
He didn't take many penalties either. No.
Who would it have been?
He didn't. Well, they had Chris Lawler, for example, scored 61 goals, none of them penalties, and that's a defender. Jerry Byrne took penalties. Ronnie Moran took penalties.
Shanks knew what he was doing.
And Billy Little, of course, was one of the greats before that. But Roger didn't. He took one. Now, his debut against Scunthorpe was the only match in his 492-game Liverpool career that he wore number 9. 8 days later, he was back in the team wearing number 8, the shirt that became his own during the club's surge to the top rank of English football. Now, Phil Taylor resigned as manager in November 1959, a victim of the strain of repeatedly failed promotion attempts. And less than 3 weeks later, Shankly breezed across the Pennines from Huddersfield to take charge and signal a revolution in which Hunt played a massive part. Roger's scoring skills earned him an England call-up under Walter Winterbottom, making his debut with a goal in a 3-1 win over Austria at Wembley in April 1962, and he was a non-playing member of the World Cup squad in Chile later that year. 4 years later, though, Hunt became part of England legend when he scored three times in six outings in the World Cup finals, including a brace against France on his 28th birthday, and was a member of Sir Alf Ramsey's immortal team that won the trophy with a 4-2 win over West Germany at Wembley on July the 30th. Ramsey was unmoved by a media campaign for Jimmy Greaves to play instead of Hunt, and the England manager kept faith with the Liverpool star for every game in the tournament. Roger said Sir Alf was a very fine footballer in every way, a man of true international class. He proved himself over and over again in the England jersey as a player of very high quality. Roger scored 18 goals in 34 internationals and set, set an England record of 27 unbeaten appearances until Liverpool's Jordan Henderson reached 30 at the 2018 World Cup. And, of course, they lost to Croatia, so he reached 30. But that, I guess, if you said who was the man who set an England record for successive unbeaten appearances for England, few people would say Jordan Henderson, but he's the one. He now holds the all-time record.
And Sir Roger himself, just in terms of, you don't hear that much of Sir Roger now, do you? And in fact, he was never one to sort of embrace interviews or the media.
He told me he did one after dinner in Yorkshire and never again. He was so nervous and it was dreadful. And he said, I'm never doing it again. And when he came in this very studio to be my guest on Strictly John Keith in 2009, it was the first radio show he's ever done.
Amazing. I'm going to have to dig that out, play that again.
Yeah,
because you don't hear from Sir Roger.
Well, I'm going to refer to this.
Go on.
Yeah, well, Roger's the only Liverpool player to appear on a winning side in a World Cup final. Three Anfield players have been on losing sides. Germany's Dietmar Hamann against Brazil, 2002. Holland's Dirk Kuyt against Spain, 2010. And, of course, the very unlucky Dejan Lovren of Croatia against France this summer. Now, talking about Roger on that show here in 2009, he declared he was certain Jeff Hurst's shot, which cannoned off the underside of the bar, did bounce down over the line in that 1966 final, as the Soviet linesman Tofik Bakramov did signal. The debate has lasted ever since, but Hunt has no doubt. I was running him for a possible follow-up, but I plainly saw the ball cross the line, said Roger. If I hadn't, I'd have put it in myself. I wish I had now. And no doubt he does, because he gets asked it time and time again. On that same programme, Roger revealed the FA's fake trophy ploy on the most glittering football occasion in Merseyside football history. It was the FA Charity Shield at Goodison, a fortnight after England had become world champions, with Harry Kattrick's FA Cup winners Everton facing Shankly's league champions Liverpool. The rival captains, Brian Lebone and Ron Yates, carried the two domestic trophies right round the stadium running track, and the England pair, Hunt and Everton's Ray Wilson, proudly held aloft what seemed to be the solid gold World Cup to deafening cheers from a rapturous crowd. It was an iconic picture that's been used down the generations. But a piece of metal Hunt and Wilson held was, in fact, as Roger disclosed, a fake.
Oh.
They'd already won the World... Roger said they'd already had the World Cup stolen before the tournament, later found, by the way, in a London garden by a dog called Pickles. He said, and I think the FA was scared of it going missing again. So they had a replica cast, which Ray and I carried around Goodison that day. Only a few of us knew. The crowd thought it was the real thing. So there you are. Everything is never what it seems. Asked to pick out his most memorable goals from his substantial portfolio, Roger selected two from Liverpool's history-making FA Cup journey in 1965. We had a sixth-round replay against Leicester at Anfield. Late in the game, still goalless, Chris Lawler crossed long from the right, said Roger. Ron Yates headed it down in the box and I crashed a left-foot volley past Gordon Banks. It smashed against the inside stanchion and into the net. It was the winner that took us to Wembley to face Leeds. Now, he said, Liverpool had never won the cup, and with the final goalless, we went into extra time. Early in the extra period, our hero that day, Gerry Byrne, who'd broken his collarbone in the opening minutes, moved up to send the ball over to me. It reached me waist high. For a second, I thought about getting a foot to it and risk putting it over the top. Instead, I ducked into it and nodded it over the line from a few yards out. It was the most important goal I ever scored, because we went on to win 2-1 and take the cup back to Anfield for the first time ever. Now, Roger Hunt's out-of-character response to being substituted by Shankly in an FA Cup fifth-round home replay with Leicester in March 1969, when he threw down his shirt before marching off, made big headlines. But following a heart-to-heart talk and a handshake between manager and player, Hunt was back in the team before the end of the season. He was first choice in 10 of the opening 11 games of the following 69-70 season. But it was clear his 10-year Anfield career was drawing to its close. His last goal came against Portuguese side Vitória Setúbal in the European Fairs Cup at Anfield in November 1969, and his rather ignominious final appearance was as a substitute in a 4-1 home defeat by Manchester United the following month before a £31,000 move to Bolton, managed by his boyhood hero Lofthouse. After retiring as a player in 1972, he worked in the family's haulage business, and his place in Liverpool history was illustrated when a crowd of more than 55,000, with more than 5,000 locked out, packed into Anfield in April that year to salute him in his testimonial match against an England 11, the man himself fittingly firing a hat-trick. 2 years later, Hunt joined the Football Pools panel, on which he still serves as chairman, and in 2000 received the MBE for his services to football, the very least he deserved. Shankly perfectly summed up Roger Hunt, the player, when he said he has a place alongside all the great goal scorers of football history, and when it came to sheer effort, there was nobody better. Now, Roger, Steve, was 80 last Friday, and we all at Radio City wish him a belated, very happy birthday.
Sir Roger Hunt, hero to many Liverpool players as well, likes of Aldo and Phil Thompson, always name him as their very favourite player. Absolute icon.
And
of the
a lovely guy,
world.
By the way, too.
John, thank you very much indeed. Perfect start to the H's on the A to Z of Merseyside football. But fear not, there is loads more to come in the weeks ahead. Another A to Z of Merseyside football next week.
This is Radio City Talk.